Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 24, Text Number 6. Chapter is entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva.
Radyam Vritim Karadana Danda Sukari Karanam Manyamana Dirga Satra Rajina Vishasarja Ha Adhyam Vritim Karadana Danda Shukhari Dharana Manyamano Dirga Satra Yajena Vishasarjaha Agyam Vritim Karadana Danda Shukhari Dharana Manyamana Dhirga Satra Yajena Vishasarjaha
Danda, punishment. Shukha, Shuka finds. Adi, etc. Darunam, which are very severe. Manyamana, thinking like that. Dirga, long. Satra, sacrifice. Vyajena, on the plea. Visasarja, gave up. Ha, in the past. Translation. Whenever Antardhana, the supreme royal power, had to exact taxes, punish his citizens, or fine them severely, he was not willing to do so. Consequently, he retired from the execution of such duties and engaged himself in the performance of different sacrifices. Please repeat. Whenever Antardhana, the supreme royal power, had to exact taxes, punish his citizens, or fine them severely, he was not willing to do so. Consequently, he retired from the execution of such duties and engaged himself in the performance of different sacrifices. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is clear herein that the king sometimes has to perform duties which are not very desirable just because he is the king. Similarly, Arjuna was not at all willing to fight because fighting or killing one's kinsmen, own kinsmen and family members is not at all desirable. Nonetheless, the Kshatriyas had to perform such undesirable actions as a matter of duty. Maharaj Antardhana was not very happy while exacting taxes or punishing the citizens for their criminal activities. Therefore, on the plea of performing sacrifices, he retired from the royal majestic power at a very early age. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhatandikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tiramane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Disatarane Vanchakapatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rajendra Nandana Das. I'm a very insignificant disciple and follower of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, an aspirant of wanting to be your servants also. I want to say Hari Bol to... Oh, it's not going out. Oh, I can't say it, I guess. Hey, would you do me a favor? Let's chant Hare Krishna one time to the devotees that were hoping they could hear Bhagavatam over in America. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whether they know it or not, they're very fortunate. So, Hare Krishna. Yesterday I was with two of my friends taking prasadam, and they were very kind to me because they helped me to realize, shows you how, advanced I am, but they opened my eyes to this verse. Jaipataka Swami always chants it. Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pungam Langayate Gurum Yatkripata Mahanvande Sri Gurum Dinatarna. So Mukam or Mukha means someone who is dumb. And we don't mean by stupid or foolish, that fits to myself, but one who can't speak. Well, I happen to be able to speak and speak and speak. And the problem is, what do I speak about? If I'm speaking about Krishna, Hari Bol, that's wonderful. If I'm speaking about the devotees of Krishna, Hari Bol, it's wonderful. But then you start getting on the peripheral of, oh, this Prabhu could do that, or only if we were measuring up to this standard of devotional service. And I kind of went on a little bit, and at one point, concluding it with the instruction that Prabhupada gave to Gaur Govinda Maharaj, tolerate, 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 cooperate. Sounds Krishna conscious, doesn't it? So my friend said, well, we've tolerated you for about 4 parahas, and let's get up and cooperate and wash the dishes. So my point is that Srila Prabhupada was very kindly, through this Prabhu, letting me see sometimes, even though I may be enthusiastic and fired up, I don't measure up to my aspirations or what I always, or what I sometimes talk about in trying to talk about the standards of Krishna consciousness. That was a good thing because it helped me to be humbled and to pray a little more sincerely. I can repeat the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada has taught us. Many of us can. But can I, at this given moment, say or share with you what Srila Prabhupada would like me to say? If not for the mercy of my spiritual master, who is very kind to the fallen, if you Prabhus won't even say a one-liner to Srila Prabhupada to allow this fool to say something that he would like you to hear, then what's the chance of me being able to speak eloquently on the Bhagavatam? Not a lot. So please be kind upon me. Say a one-liner prayer to Srila Prabhupada so we might hear his message. So this, as Janai Vas pointed out today, oh, you're giving class today? Very short purport. I'm giving class tomorrow. Much nicer purport. So you might think I'm at a loss for words. Not. This is a verse describing how he didn't like his duty. He was the emperor of the world. And he was a pure devotee of the Lord, qualified by birth, qualified by training, qualified by realization. He simply wanted to please Krishna, and he simply wanted to help others to be happy in their service to Krishna. But he didn't like the heavy parts, fining them severely or chastising them. He didn't have a taste for that. It was distasteful. And if you don't want to do that, you're not going to be able to perform your duty as well as you might if you're in the position of a king. For that matter, you could even expand it in the position of a teacher, husband, father, etc. We know that sometimes you can't always be lovey-dovey or soft as a rose. Love sometimes manifests with strictness, with discipline. But be that what it may, he didn't want to do that service. So he retired. And this is something that's very important. Because sooner or later, every one of us is going to retire from this body. We as devotees think about it often, a lot more than those who are not devotees. But we're all going to have to die. We're all going to have to leave this body. And by the grace of Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna, we have this transcendental knowledge. We don't have to be afraid what lies beyond this life. Even the parents and siblings of devotees who may not take Krishna consciousness very seriously, when they get towards the fag end of their life, or if they're in a hospital bed, a hospice bed, or whatever, and they realize what they heard their brother or sister or son or daughter saying to them, that you lose everything. And yet, if you are aware of your relationship, your eternal identity and relationship to Krishna, you're losing nothing. And that beyond this life, there is a bright future if you want it to be with Krishna, serving Krishna. Many relatives of the devotees, they realize this in the last days of their life. Sometimes for devotees also, it takes the heavy pummeling of the laws that Krishna is kindly, personally supervising in the form of disease and old age for his devotees, for us to get the fact that we have nothing of importance in this world except our service to Vaishnavas and Krishna. Everything else is temporary and will be taken away. And so this program of retiring, whether it's at an early age or at a later age, it's highly recommended in the culture of Krishna. We give it the names Vanaprastha or Sannyas. But the essence of those two orders of the Varnashram system are that get ready. You're going to leave your body. And you have a life after this one. What is it going to be? Are you going to have completely wasted the time in this human form? Or will you start focusing on your highest priority, your eternal relationship and service to Krishna? And when you retire from your active duties, most of us, those who are fortunate, are brahmacharis, they don't have the responsibilities that those of us in the grihastha ashram have. They're freer to focus on direct service to the spiritual master and helping others to understand and to accept Krishna consciousness. Not that the householders can't be engaged in direct service to Krishna all the time. One disciple, Srila Prabhupada, asked Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I have this child, and I have to take care of this child, and it takes up so much time, and you know, should I put the child in the babysitter so that I can go and, you know, serve the deities or go out on book distribution, do some direct service?" And Prabhupada at that point answered to her, "There's no question of direct or indirect service to Krishna if you're conscious of Krishna." In other words, why are you doing what you're doing? It's as simple as, if you want to be pleasing Krishna and his servants, that's very pleasing to Krishna. But if we're simply going through the motions, as I've said in the past, maybe we're sleepwalking, even in Krishna consciousness. What to speak of if we're in Maya and just playing out the role given to us by material nature in this B-rate movie of flapping around for a few years in this body and taking it all to be so important. And yet the plot's not developing the way we think it should, because at every turn, something's happening where I'm not in control and I'm not happy. That's the nature of life in this world. Sooner or later, we have to come to that realization. For devotees, Srila Prabhupada has said, either voluntarily or by force, Krishna will give that realization to those who want to serve Krishna, even if they still maintain material attachments. Krishna is so kind. So retiring from one's activities is highly recommended. Now, generally, when one retires, they get criticized, or it's not understood by those that were dependent upon them. I'm sure it was quite a shock to Srila Prabhupada's wife when she realized, my God, he really did leave. I never thought he would. And they tried to get him back, After some times, a couple of years, this, that, man, this isn't happening. Well, at least let us send our eldest son to him. Let him take care of him anyway, lessen the burden that we have. So those who are dependent upon one who walks away and retires from such activities, they're often disappointed. They certainly don't understand. You see, we have so many obligations in life. So many obligations. We are huge debtors to so many different people. And if we're not performing devotional service to Krishna, then you're bound by those debts. If you don't fulfill those debts or repay them, then you will suffer. Because essentially you're living the life of a thief, an ungrateful thief, if you don't recognize and have gratitude for that which is being given to you by so many. But when we surrender to Krishna, this isn't understood by the non-devotees, but when you surrender to Krishna, then all those debts are wiped away by Krishna's grace. And as he tells Arjuna, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of everything because you're surrendering completely unto me. There's the verse from the 11th canto that's so beautiful, and many of you will know it. Devarsha bhutap dinirnam prachinnam nikinkaro nayam rani charajam sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parivrityakartam. One who's given up all material duties and taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, who gives shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who passed away. Most people in the ignorance of modern day Kali Yuga, they don't even have a clue they owe to those that are giving them rain, sunshine, wind, etc., or to the forefathers who have given us tradition or culture, if any of it's left. We begrudgingly pay taxes to the government because, okay, I do have to have roads. It is nice having a fire department, police department, etc., etc. Are the great sages who have given us transcendental knowledge, they don't have a clue about that. So they just go through life like an animal. Just taking everything for granted and just focusing on what will make me happy right now. But someone who's sober and intelligent starts to want to become free of the suffering, and the suffering is caused by one's ignorance of what debts one has. In one fell swoop, one can become free of those debts when one fully surrenders their life to Krishna. And that's what Maharaj Antardhana is doing. It says on the plea of performing sacrifices. It's not capricious on his part. Oh, let me give up my duties because they're troublesome. That's renunciation of the mode of ignorance. And you have no auspicious result as that. We've seen it so often in the history of ISKCON. Let me try renunciation just because there's trouble in my duties. Well, there's trouble in the execution of any and all duties. That's the nature of this world. One's supposed to tolerate those inconveniences, the ups and downs of our duties. In this way, remain steady and learn the lessons of life and mature so that you can come closer to appreciating we're eternal servants of Krishna. So it wasn't like that for Maharaj Antardhana. He wasn't renouncing it just because it was difficult or I don't like it. Krishna wants our love. He wants our devotion. He wants our full surrender. He has everything but that. He's given us independence. And if we haven't surrendered to him, then he doesn't have it. He wants it. He's not selfish. He's not on a power trip. He wants us to surrender and love him because that will make us happy. That's all he wants. It's for us to be happy. His happiness is in seeing his devotees happy. Maharaj Antardhana gave up his responsibilities You could quote Bhagavad Gita, kings like King Janaka, they attain perfection by the execution of their duties. And Krishna was instructing Arjuna, as Prabhupada allures to in the purport, you should do your duty. It will be good for others to see the example set by you. And it will be good for you. If Krishna is pleased, it's good for everybody. See, devotional service is absolute. Krishna is absolute. In the last verse of the Chaturshloki verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that we should pursue the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, in his devotional service in all circumstances, in all places, in all times, directly and indirectly. Krishna, in his devotional service being absolute, it's a win-win-win-win-win circumstances for everybody. Good for the Lord, good for the person who surrenders, it's good for the place in which the surrender takes place, it's good for the ingredients in which the service is performed, it's good for those who observe the performance of devotional service. It's all auspicious in an absolute fashion. So whether you're young and not retired, or whether you're young and you retire, it doesn't. The important point is, are you trying to please Krishna? If you are, that's perfect. It may not be fully mature and realized, but that's perfect, to want to please Krishna. Everything else, once that is realized, you turn on the light switch, I want to please Krishna and his devotees, then Krishna can take care of everything else. He facilitates everything else. But he cannot turn the light on within our heart that sincere, earnest desire to please him. He won't do it. That's up to us. So for the self-realized devotee, it doesn't matter whether he does his duty or doesn't do his duty. He has nothing to gain from his duty in terms of the nature of this world or things of this world. And he's going to please and remember Krishna no matter what he does, doing the duties or not doing the duties. And there's no reason for him not to do the duties either. Devotional service is so absolute. So it requires guidance by guru and Vaishnavas, by the Shastra, and when one becomes realized by following that guidance, as we hear, one comes to the point of getting guidance personally from Krishna. As Prabhupada said, no, Krishna personally tells me what to say, what to do. And that's what's being offered to each and every one of us. But we'll never reach the goal if we aren't even dealing with the immediate or the basics of Krishna consciousness. What is the motive with which we're performing our activities? Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada says in a purport, one line, the first line of a purport, he says, Krishna consciousness are actually rendering devotional service to Krishna without any personal desires for sense gratification. That's the definition of Krishna consciousness. So what we do and what we don't do, it should be because we want to please Krishna. And that's perfect. But in the beginning, we serve Krishna for so many other reasons. And in that state of Krishna consciousness, we can use the term we're sleepwalking through our devotional service. We're not taking seriously the opportunity, the privilege of devotional service. We don't realize who Krishna is, and what he's offering. It takes devotee association. It takes the gradual purification of devotional service for us to come to appreciating that. So it's highly recommended that we surrender to Krishna now and keep on surrendering. It's not a one-time thing. I got initiated in 19 so-and-so. That's the beginning. That's ancient history. Significant and an eternal asset. But that's yesterday's news. What are you doing today? What are you doing right now? Surrender to Krishna never stops. That's part of the absolute beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's ever increasing. It doesn't diminish. It's never lost. It's ever expansive. It's dynamic. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is offering to each of us. That's what Lord Chaitanya wants each of us to accept. Let go of all the burdens we're carrying and accept His priceless treasure, the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now when people surrender to Krishna, often it is the case that they don't measure up completely and they have difficulty in Krishna consciousness. It happens all the time. Anytime there's description about fully surrendering to Krishna, whether it be Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva or Kardama, one of the nine Nimis speaking to the king in the 11th canto, when they talk about fully surrendering to Krishna, right in the next breath they talk about the difficulty of not being able to fully surrender continuously to Krishna. And I'd kind of like to touch on that for a little bit. I read how if you surrender to Krishna, you have no other obligation to anybody. And then it's continued in the next verse. One who has given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such a sin. Let me bounce back to the first canto because it's the same point. And when it's repeated in Srimad Bhagavatam, we know it's significant, it's important. And I in contemplating the message of this class, I know this is something that some of us have difficulty accepting, the principle that I'm going to try and highlight. In the first canto, 5th chapter, 17th verse, Vyasadeva hears, one who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in devotional service to the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there's no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Next verse talks about an intelligent person, a philosophically inclined person, should try and capture, acquire that which you can't get anywhere from Brahmaloka down to Patalaloka. This material sense gratification, the happiness of this world, it comes automatically, just like distress comes uninvited. Don't worry about it. You'll get the two, happiness and distress. And then the next verse, coming back to the point. My dear Vyas, even though devotees of Lord Krishna sometimes fall down somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruitive workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Maya is very good. We're neophyte devotees. And we may forget that ecstasy. I've even met a god brother many years back who had given up the practice of Krishna consciousness. And he even thought, he was convinced, he told me, I never tasted the nectar. Nonsense. He didn't practice Krishna consciousness for years, never having tasted the nectar. But Maya is so good at covering and throwing the conditioned soul into ignorance. And mixed happiness, giving that little enticement, yeah, it's all over, it's here, it's right around the next corner you're controlling and enjoying. That one can forget that taste. So we may forget that taste, but we can emphasize that once you have surrendered, are committed to surrendering to Krishna, then he personally takes care. He never forgets, and he never lets go. Neither does the spiritual master. I think I told that pastime recently when one devotee said this: I'm writing a fallen disciple from Hawaii, a foolish person who had left the society. He asked Srila Prabhupada, would you please sometimes think of me in a kind fashion? And Prabhupada, when he heard the letter, tears shot out of his eyes. And he said, I can never forget. The Lord Krishna, hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dina Bandhu. He's an ocean of mercy and he's a friend of the fallen. He doesn't kick us away. He stays in the heart, always ready to help us. Give us an uplifting hand. And the spiritual master is nothing but the external manifestation of Krishna, his mercy for us, so that we can feel that hand, hear those instructions, take that chastisement. And their motive is simply to help us become happy in service to the Lord. They will never lose sight of that. So if the spiritual master chastises, the motive is out of love to help that person. And I've read these two, you know, one should surrender fully to Krishna, and sometimes when one tries to fully surrender to Krishna, he doesn't measure up. No loss, no diminution. Now, okay, that's there. You'll get another human birth. It saves you from the greatest type of danger. But having said that about the surrenderer, let's talk about the association of the one who is failing to surrender, and that's you and I. Sometimes we get hurt by people falling down in Krishna consciousness, and very often that hurt turns into anger. And thus we get on the high horse thinking this person should be punished. An example should be set of this person. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to the last verse I read, said, a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. We do not have to worry that the Lord will take care of those who need to be taken care of. It's actually his special mercy if he takes everything away and he puts us in a position where we realize we're helpless. I already said that about the last days, months, etc. of life in old age and disease. He does it because he loves us. That's his special mercy. Much more merciful than one who gets reborn, doesn't make it, doesn't reach perfection, and gets born in a rich family or a Brahmin family. Because you can continue to forget Krishna in that next birth. So it's much more fortunate when Krishna takes away, when he makes us realize we're helpless. We need protection. We need shelter. Don't think when we want to see some erring devotee, some fallen devotee be punished. Don't think that Krishna will not do the job far, far better than we can. He will. And sometimes we have responsibility where we're supposed to represent him. I started class out that way. Guru, husband, teacher, father, etc. They're meant to represent Krishna's will. And so they will chastise at times. And they will punish. But sometimes I see that we punish, we give greater punishments to fallen devotees than the karmis give to murderers. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Maybe their punishment isn't severe enough. That may be, according to Shastra, their life should be taken. But I'm talking about what is the motive behind. Theoretically, punishment, even on the government's part, prison, etc., is meant to reform. But it's a joke. You become a greater prisoner, a greater criminal. So often they become career criminals because they get the association of other criminals. In Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada gave the example that the rectification for the fallen devotees is devotional service. When the devotee asked Lord Chaitanya, I've been given this prayaschitya by the Brahmins. They're saying I should swallow molten gold. What did Lord Chaitanya say? Nonsense. Chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now you may say, yeah, we don't mind. Let them chant Hare Krishna, but let us throw them out with the trash. But no. We need each other's association, and we all need engagement in the service of the Lord. And if we aren't giving that to others, we have to ask, what is our motive in the chastisement of the devotee? If it's because we've been hurt, or because we're angry, or because we're thinking of the society over the individual, we have to question ourselves. Are we disqualifying ourselves to truly represent the Lord? Because Krishna cares about each and every individual. And when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet, the way he directed us was always to uplift the consciousness of the less advanced so they could see, or they could come up to the higher standard and appreciate what devotional qualities are. He took into account general devotees often, but he was so expert. He could accomplish both things. And you would need empowerment to do that. But my main point was just sticking to our motive. Whether we deal harshly or softly with the devotee, if the motive is not to help the devotee who's had trouble, then we're in Maya. We're fallen. There's two ways we can perform devotional service. We can stay on the neophyte materialistic platform, or we can actually come to the spiritual platform. And if we don't realize that we're not the body, it's not the cheapest thing to be accomplished, at least we should aspire for the qualities and follow the behavior of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our Paramahamsa spiritual master for everybody. We should follow the example set by him. Aspire to act on the spiritual platform. Because I guarantee in the context of this conversation, it's basically those two levels of Krishna consciousness. It's materialistic, and the society can go on, and big buildings can be built, and we can live in the dham, and we can go through the motions. But if the character and the qualities are not developing in the heart, are we really taking advantage of living in the dham and performing all these incredible feats that others can see with their eyeballs? We want to get what is being offered to us. I know all you Prabhus do. I'm preaching to myself. But we want to get what's being offered to us. But sometimes we get stuck somewhere in devotional service, and we need association to push us on. Compassion and mercy, whether it's manifest with the rough embrace or the soft embrace, that is the quality of a Vaishnava. It's the quality of Krishna. He's the best friend of everyone. The Vaishnava is everyone's best friend. And best friend means, I love you, no matter what you do. I want to help you, no matter how fallen you become. Even the one devotee that Prabhupada excommunicated, a couple of months later, he's asking his servants, where is Nidai? He didn't forget him. He cared about him. And let's go to the other extreme to kind of try and keep this balance. But Gopal Chappal, when he first saw Lord Chaitanya after having offended Srivas Thakur, he said, you're the merciful, most merciful incarnation. Please be merciful upon me. I'm suffering. Lord Chaitanya said, suffering? You're not suffering. You're going to have to spend a million lives in roar of a hell. This is nothing. You've offended a Vaishnava. He cut him no slack whatsoever. But then, let's not stop the story there, then later he gave him the process whereby he could become rectified. And that's the point I'm trying to emphasize. Because devotees, whether they're fallen or not, let's say they're fallen, they are devotees. Krishna, I read it in the purport. He personally takes charge of that devotee. They're not karmis. They're not demons. It's not that even the demons can't surrender to Krishna. Let's say someone is a demon. It doesn't mean that the spiritual master throws him away. There were disciples of his while he was on the planet, put their own pictures on the altar. They wanted to be worshipped, not Prabhupada. They didn't want to worship Prabhupada. Okay, I'll worship Prabhupada if I get to be worshipped. Or when Prabhupada went in front of his leaders of the society one time in a room, he said, I know you're praying for me to die. Because some of them wanted to take the position. Let me be the guru. Let me get the worship. Let me control the devotees, the money, etc. Prabhupada loved them still. And if you fast forward to the end of each of those devotees' life that you might think is who fit the description Prabhupada is talking about, they're surrounded by devotees chanting the holy names at the end of their life. Prabhupada never forgets. He doesn't throw away. We should try to follow his example, at least aspire for his example. If we can't, at least let's focus on our own garbage, our own dirty laundry. Strict with ourselves, lenient with others. That's what we've been taught. But if we are going to be strict with others, at least be strict with ourselves first. Practice what we preach or expect of others. Take advantage of these holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And even though it may sound cliche, Trinada Pisa Nichena, Taroa Pisa Ishana, Manina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sundari. That's the secret, the qualification for being able to actually chant and not sleepwalk through the chanting of Hare Krishna. So I think I'll end there to leave some time. Hopefully I've stirred some thoughts within you. If you would like to share with me, chastise me, ask any questions, I open up the forum. Yes, Prabhu. There's a microphone here, somebody could hand it to you. The bottom.
Hare Krishna. It was regarding when you were talking earlier about our duties and that everything's absolute. And it's whether we're acting, whether we're thinking how we're pleasing Krishna. Am I right in saying that? So, just to be clear on this, does this also mean working in a mundane job to support family or whatever? Does that mean doing that duty as well, but thinking, am I acting in a way to please Krishna while I'm doing a mundane job, not just cleaning the temple? Or,
yeah, definitely.
It definitely does mean
definitely.
That. Thank you.
I'll keep that answer simple. Yeah?
Thank you. That's been a doubt for a while. There's a lot of devotees will say, won't they, if you're not working in the temple, maybe you're out there and you're doing...
Yeah, that's a neophyte understanding.
Okay.
And it's really based upon false ego, generally. I'm better than you are. You may be more fortunate than I am. It's nice you can directly engage in the Sankirtan movement. But providing for my family... You know, if it's done for Krishna and remembrance of Krishna, someone's walking around from Malaysia with a t-shirt that says something like, it's a quote from Prabhupada, has anybody seen it? Where have a child and thus show your gratitude and fulfillment of responsibility by bringing in another devotee. It's a far out quote. Look around for this Prabhu. He's from Malaysia. I hope he's still here. I saw him this morning or yesterday morning. So anyway, yeah, it's all Krishna. It's absolute. There is no place Krishna is not in. But under expert guidance, you can connect everything to Krishna. Everything. Chitraketu serve Krishna in heaven and hell. So everything in between. Under expert guidance, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question? Yes, Prabhu?
So we speak about chastisement from Lot. Chastisement from Lot. So why?
Chastisement from?
From Lot. From
Lord.
Yeah. So why, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reject Chota Haridas, and not maybe should be less heavier, you know. He's supposed to, not so heavier, you know. So heavy to, you know.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Everybody understood? Why was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so heavy with Chota Haridas? You used an interesting word, when he should have been lighter. No, we don't tell Lord Chaitanya what he should or shouldn't do. But his life was one of an example. He wanted to set the highest standard. He had set the highest standard of sannyas. Chota Haridas was sannyas. He deviated. He wanted to set what the standard is. That has to be there. We don't compromise. But did Chota Haridas lose his service to Lord Chaitanya? No, he got to sing for him. Lord Chaitanya did not kick him away, actually. It just appeared to the vision of others he did. The example that comes to mind in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life, I've told it before, but I'll very quickly tell it. A devotee bloops. He comes back to the temple. He bloops again. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, in his travels, comes to that temple, and he comes and he asks, can he rejoin and live in the mutt again? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no. Very brokenhearted, very downcast, he leaves. When he leaves, he tells the temple president, now you go and you get that devotee, you bring him back to the mutt, and you keep him under your personal supervision. And the temple president said, how can I do that? Guru Maharaj, you just said he can't come back. He said, I'm the acharya, I have to set the standard. But you should be more merciful than the spiritual master. And you should make sure that he continues to engage in devotional service. So the mood is like that. The motive is always help the Prabhus. Help everybody. Jiva Doya. It's the one of the three main pillars of Lord Chaitanya's gift to us. Does that make sense?
Like Prabhupada, he seems more magnificent. Prabhupada, you know, he's never, you know, reject anybody, never, you know, always, you know.
Yeah, we could spend the next hour giving examples of that. I like the one where the guy tried killing him with a knife. Stoned out on LSD, tried killing Prabhupada. Prabhupada had to run for his life. Out of the apartment, down the stairs. Nowhere to go. Animapati Maharaj tells this story. He came back after a few weeks or some time, and when he left the class, he didn't say anything, Prabhupada, there's that. Prabhupada turned and said, did you see? Looks like he's making some advancement in devotional service. He didn't hold it against him. The man tried killing him. He didn't hold it against him. He simply wanted the good of that person. That's the spiritual platform. I know it's hard for us to hear because I am influenced by the modes. I still think I'm this body and mind. But those who know their spirit soul, reflective of Krishna's qualities, for them it comes much easier. They understand the love for all spirit souls because they are appreciating Krishna's love for them. That's why I divided it into two. We can stay on the lower platform, or we can aspire for the higher platform, and by grace of Guru and Garanga, someday come to the higher platform. But even if we don't come to there, by their grace, if we just stick to the aspiration, then we can go back to Godhead. Garanga's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. Any other question or comment? You getting hungry? I appreciate your association. I hope I didn't discourage anybody.
As I say, I preach to myself generally when I give class, and sometimes others may relate or may not, but thank you for the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada ki, Vrindaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki.